Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
We're back with Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past several episodes, we have been at New Orleans Baptist Seminary, which happens to be in New Orleans, which is why they named it that.
And I thought it was New Orleans Seminary, and they moved it here because it was already named New Orleans Seminary.
We don't want to change our name. We're in the studios of WBSM, and we thank them for making this possible. The North American Baptist Mission said, you are having to go to New Orleans to do this week.
Right. We came here because the Southern Baptist Convention was here.
Yep.
We're doing these, obviously, the day after the Southern Baptist Convention, and we're in this beautiful studio at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and grateful for the North American Mission Board, who makes all of this fun and frivolity.
And possible.
A possibility.
So today, we're talking about something that, we're talking about some really practical stuff today.
Yep.
Because we're always looking for a handle, you know, some little special thing that we can do that just is a spark to our ministry.
Yep.
So today, is this Eliff's stuff?
Yeah, Jim Eliff. Jim Eliff wrote this. Again, Christian Communicators Worldwide, you can find him online. And yes, Jim Eliff is Tom Eliff's brother. Many of you know Tom from being IMB, and then his other brother is Bill Eliff, down in Oklahoma. And he wrote this. It's great stuff. We're going to talk today, Dan, about something very close to you and I.
Yeah.
I know.
Very close.
Very close. residential care. Seriously, residential care centers. And, Dan and I, my wife and I, we moved out to Linwood, Baser Linwood, when we replanted the church. And so we decided to buy a house. For most of our ministry, we didn't own a home. We lived in rented apartments and rented duplexes. We just didn't have the money. But here we were able to buy a house, and we started out. Jill was thinking, "Hey, let's get 5 acres, and then let's get 2 acres because we're out in the country. We like the country. We're both country. We were ready to really sign the deal on 2 acres." And Jill said, "How old are you?" This is the night we did. "How old are you?" I said, "You know how old I am." She said, "How old are you going to be in 5 years?" I said, "You know how old I'm going to be." She goes, "Nah, let's don't get 2 acres."
Yeah.
So we got like a half acre.
It's
right?
Demanding. Even
yeah.
That is demanding.
And so actually being there a year, like I'm ready for assisted living. That's where I'm headed. So we're going to talk today about a ministry opportunity that many of you overlook and that is everywhere you can imagine. They're all over small towns, big cities, every place. And that is residential care centers. And there are more and more of them all the time because obviously people are aging. I mean, baby boomers like Dan and I, my goodness, there's hundreds of thousands of us turning 65 every year.
Fastest growing demographic in America.
Growing crazy fast. And we're all living way longer than we used to because we have heart transplants and hip transplants and knee transplants. And whereas we would have gone on to Jesus 10 years ago, we live another 10 or 15 years. So we live forever now. We live into the 90s. Seriously, we do.
Absolutely. And not only, though, are we talking about what used to be called nursing homes, but we're talking about residential care centers where people, some of them are younger.
Right.
They're living there either because they have some disabilities or
they're rehabilitating from an accident. And they're in there for long-term rehabilitation. And they're all over North America, these places. And they are overlooked opportunities for ministry.
Yep.
And we're going to give you, as we have enough time here, 10 reasons why you need to take a look at residential care centers in your community as a place to do missions. And guys always say, our church is dying, we're declining. Man, you can do this. Yeah. I don't think anybody in your old church is going to get mad at you if you say, we're going to go work at it. We're going to minister to people in a residential care center. They're not going to say, well, we're not going to do that. And you can really have an impact on some people's lives.
I love it.
And they know people in these centers.
Right.
It gives them an opportunity to go minister to the people that they know.
Right. Yep.
So the first one, when we talk, God tells us to serve the downcast and rejected. Well, what better way to find an avenue to obey God than a residential care center?
Right. Now, many people in these care centers are very happy. They like where they live. They're treated well. They enjoy the company of others. But man, there are some in these care centers who are really struggling.
That's right.
They realize they have lost their independence. They've lost their freedom, the mobility. They're losing their health.
Yeah.
They're even losing their ability to do some of the hobbies they like to used to do.
Many of them don't have family members who come visit them.
No. And so you often see, while there are many people in these centers who are quite happy and quite fulfilled, there are many, many who are not.
Yeah.
And this is a very challenging, difficult time for them. And they need someone to come along and walk alongside them and tell them that they love them.
Amen.
You know, James tells us in James 1:27, talk about widows and their distress. I mean, there's all kinds of scripture that tell us that we should take care of the widows. And there, just all of these, and widowers, you know, all these things. My dad spent time in a care center after rehabilitating from surgery. My mother spent a time in care center, weeks and weeks and months, and, you know, after spending time. And I remember just how much they would appreciate someone who would stop by and just visit with them and just spend time with them, you know. And so it's a great place to be with those who are marginalized and forgotten and very much in need. Number one.
And
number
grateful
two,
for you.
And they're grateful for you.
They're grateful for you.
I mean, they're there. They're number two, they offer numerous opportunities for evangelism.
Say, Dan, you got to speak to this about your dad.
Yeah, mom and dad were in Lakewood Manor, which is in Virginia. It's the Baptist care center in Virginia. And they were there for numerous years after they retired from the mission field. And dad just said, well, you know, I'm not dead yet, so I'm going to continue ministering. So he wanted to make sure that that became his ministry. But what he found was ministering to the residents was important, and he wanted to do that. But what he found was it gave him an opportunity to minister to the staff.
Yeah.
And he became their pastor. Yeah. I mean, he married them, he counseled them, he spent time with them, he got to know their families. They would invite him to his home, their homes, to eat with them. You know, these care centers have staff members that are so overworked, you know, and they're so focused on, they're working overtime, so many of them. Yeah. And what an opportunity for evangelism, not only for the residents, but also for the staff.
That's right. And I would say this, I mean, you're in these care centers, you're with folks, many of whom they know the end is near. I mean, they know the end is near. And sometimes we get so discouraged trying to reach young people who don't seem to give a rip about Jesus and they're doing their own thing. I'll tell you what, many elderly, they're afraid of death. They are. They're waiting to have the conversation, have get some hope in the gospel. And so I think it's exactly right. It's a great opportunity to share the good news of Jesus.
And it's a great opportunity for your church to minister and care for the staff of these places. Bring them some homemade food and put it in their break room with a little card and a little note that said, our church is praying for you as you care for these, our loved ones. Just let them know you care about them and let them know that they mean something to you and give them some good homemade food in their break room and give them an opportunity, even in that break room, if they'll allow you to do it, say, you know, put some cards in there and say, we would love to pray for you. Can you want to fill out a prayer
card? You talk about a thankless job in our culture.
Yes.
And they need encouragement.
Yeah.
By the way, Elif has some great questions. I know we got to move through these things so fast because we have so many of them. But he says, you know, like, well, what do you say to them? How do you break the ice with them?
Right.
And he says, you know, here's some small talk. Just say, like, do you have a church? Right. And what does your church teach about Jesus? Mm-hmm. Or could I read you one of my favorite passages from the Bible? I mean, what a way
to
break the ice and open up, you know, with these folks.
Yeah, if you walk into a senior adult room or a care center room and you just say, could I read you one of my favorite passages from the Bible? Or bring a hymnal with you and say, could I just read you a hymn? Is there a hymn that you'd like me to read? Oh, my goodness. Number three, nursing home and residential care. They don't use the nursing home anymore, really. Sorry about that. But residential, I still use it because I'm old, right? It'll always be. But residential care units. Working there will increase your trust in a sovereign God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't say it any better than my friend Jim Elif said it. And so I do want to read this to you, but I'm going to read it in such an amazing way that you're not going to get bored. I promise you. So get ready. No, it really is great. He said, I was once called to a care facility by a family who found my church's listing in the phone book. They had a family member who was dying, and they just wanted a local pastor to come at that moment. He said, I didn't know what to expect, but when I arrived, I was whisked away to the section of the home where most people never enter. It's a place with a volatile and violent and physically challenged or housed. After a nurse walked me through two sets of double doors, the odor took my breath away, and then I was taken to a room of a man near death. He was hooked up to an extremely loud breathing machine. His eyes were shut. His chest would fill with air, causing his back to arch, and then he would exhale, causing the bed springs to rattle. What was I supposed to do? Should I just pray with the man and then run out the door? No. I remember Jesus' words in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I didn't know if this man had ever heard the good shepherd's voice, but I did realize at that moment, if he hadn't, and if he was one of the Lord's sheep, God would somehow intervene and help that man to hear and to believe in Christ for those final hours. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And so this is what Jim said. So rather than to just pray and run out the room, I preached the gospel to him quite loudly.
But you know, the advantage of that just, is not only does he hear it, but the staff hear it, maybe other residents.
Yeah, and he said, you know, conversation is possible with a large number of people in that home, but some are simply not able to communicate. This is frustrating at times. You can go into some rooms and people cannot communicate. This is what he said. People, I've done that. You go to residential care. Do they really hear me? Do they really know me? I love the fact that he believed in a sovereign God, and he believed if I just preached the gospel to this man, God could take a moment and give him clarity and bring him to salvation.
That's right.
Folks, that's worth pulling the car over and praising about and singing about.
I mean, exactly right.
He says it's frustrating at times when we don't know if they can understand us or not, but that reminds me God is sovereign, and I must trust him. Oh, it's so good. When we all gathered together on the new earth, we might hear many accounts of individuals who came to faith in Christ through the witness of someone who didn't let closed eyes or a breathing machine keep them from proclaiming the gospel.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Amen. That's awesome.
I mean, who would have thought that? Man, I can't wait to get to a care center now. I want to preach to somebody.
Seriously. That's
isn't
right.
Great?
The way I look at it, when I'm preaching, a lot of people in church have their eyes closed. So why not at a residential care center?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Number four, the care centers make available a place of real and life-impacting ministry for young men, Mark, take this, who may be heading into ministry.
That's exactly right. As we're raising up young guys to be shepherds and pastors, there's no better place to learn pastoral care, to learn how to be gentle, to pray with those in need than in a care facility like this. And I think many of our churches have those young guys, and if you don't, pray that the Lord will bring them so that they can get some ministry chops in a care facility.
And if they're going to be a pastor, they're going to deal with geriatric people.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
They need to get comfortable around older people, around geriatric people, people who can't hear well, people who can't walk well, people who can't see well.
That's right.
They need to know how to love on those people.
Because many young guys have not been around.
Never been around
them. That's
right. So it's a great place to do that.
Elif goes on one step further, and he says, not only those guys, but what about children? I mean, people, particularly when you're dealing with the elderly, you know, in some of these care centers, man, they haven't seen a child in some of them years.
Okay, if you've ever heard Richard Blackaby tell this story, he was the president of the seminary in Canada, Canadian Baptist Seminary. Hadn't preached in months. And he said, I was just so frustrated. I just wanted to preach. And he said, I got a call from the care center in town in Cochrane. They said, would you like to come on Thursday night and bring a message? And he said, I was so excited. He said, I sat down and I wrote out this wonderful message about God's sovereignty, about old age, about heaven. It was going to be a glorious message on being growing old and God. He said, it was the greatest message. And he said, and my wife said, could we go with you? He said, oh, no, honey, you don't want to go with me. He said, you know, I'm going to be there for a long time talking to people afterward because I talk to everybody, and you and the kids will get bored. She said, no, we'll bring a book or something. He said, all right, but don't get in my way. It's going to be a night of ministry. He said, so I'm up there preaching, and he said, no one's looking at me. He had three wonderful little children. He said, they were all looking at my children.
Wow.
He said, one man was like playing pistols with my two boys, and they were shooting back at him. He said, nobody paid any attention to me through the whole service. He said, as soon as the service was over, I stood at the front waiting to greet the throngs who came to meet me, and they surrounded my children. He said, one lady took my little boy and put him in her cage, her basket of her walker that had wheels on it, and was running him up and down the aisle of the nursing home. And then she got the next boy. Then she got the girl. And all of a sudden, my wife turned to me and she said, Richard, you should have brought a book. Now,
That's good.
The reality of that is what those people needed was some kids.
Yeah. Yes,
some children.
Right.
Yeah. But,
and the innocence of it.
And what a great way to bring your kids to a place like that. So,
yes.
And they get used to being around people like that and
That's
the joy that will bring to them. So absolutely.
And by the way, there's a little thing that you can do with your church, no matter what size your church is. Your folks can make them – Start with Valentine's Day. Make them Valentine's cards and everything. Yeah. And deliver great, those. They can do that at Easter. They can do that summer. Any holiday, they can do like special cards and take it. It'll open the door
for them. I do want to, before we're going to wrap this up real quick, but remember, care centers provide a way for us to serve those who are alone and rejected. Care centers give us an opportunity for evangelism we could never have imagined. Care centers increase our trust in a sovereign God. Care centers are a great place to train young men for ministry and to bring children to a place where they can serve as well. And then, oh, this is so good. Care centers are often a place, and so are hospitals, by the way.
Yeah.
And so is hospice ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to remind us all that sickness and death are coming. We do need such reminders. I mean, we need to understand how brief our life is and how short it is, such a vapor, and we don't want to waste any of it. And the idea that we may not want to go to a place that, you know, where people are dying perhaps, but we're Christians.
Yeah.
We're not fearful of that.
No.
Death isn't the end. It's
right.
And for people to see people come in and not afraid of death and to stand there and know that I'm not fearful of death is such an encouragement to people who are facing death.
I mean, when you're facing other believers that are in these care centers, you know, they're going through it. Man, they teach us something about discovering that we're in the presence of saints who are persevering in the Lord.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Right.
Number seven, you can go to places, and you know, we've all done it. You go to a place where maybe they're having some real dementia problems, they can't really communicate well, and you start singing a hymn, and they start singing with you. Or you start saying the Lord's Prayer, and they say the Lord's Prayer with you. And you realize how much those older saints are relying on the Lord even at that moment.
You know, one of the nurses in the care center where my parents were told me after mom was real advanced in dementia and all, and she said she went up to my mom, and my mom was in bed, and so she had her hands folded, and she taps her on the hands, you know, like she says, Alice, are you sleeping? And mom says, no, I'm praying for you.
All right, we got three more we'll
That's
go through
so
real
good.
Quick.
Nursing. We got time, by
okay,
the way.
Residential good. Homes put you in the presence of people who may have had hardened hearts, rejected Christ. But it's a time in their life when they're able to just hang in there and think about it and be aware of it. Some of the people that might have been most resistant to the gospel might be absolutely ready at that point in their life. So do not pass that opportunity up. Number nine, it opened doors with new relationships. Again, we said to those associated with the residents, to the doctors, to the nurses, to the people who do the cleaning, don't miss that. The staff, they are so important, and we need to make sure that we even can offer Bible study for them. If the facility will allow you to do it, do a Bible study.
It's a great idea.
For the residents. Do it for the staff.
You know what I found visiting people in the hospital, particularly when I would go in for, if they were having surgery, and so you'd go to the surgical area to sit with a family or whatever, spend some time before they actually go into to surgery to pray for him. And I met a number of staff, nurses, and just met the medical staff working there. And these were people that, like I said, they're working overtime in most cases. And one lady one day, she introduced me to a couple of other nurses that were there. And she says, this is Pastor Dan. She says, I can't go to church on Sunday mornings because I work, so he's my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she didn't even know what church I went to.
Yeah.
But, you know, to her, in that setting, you're ministering to them in their setting, in their world. And that really says something to them.
And let me share one with you here before we get to the last one that is pretty heavy and pretty different. Jim Eliff says that going to care centers may put you in the presence of people who have rejected Christ and hardened their hearts and have no desire for repentance. And you stand there and you look at them and you realize they are literally moments, if not days, from hell.
Yeah.
He said it's a sobering thought that motivates us to evangelism so that people don't get to that place. I thought that was really
Can I tell you something
really
real quick?
Heavy.
And I'll try to make this as fast as possible.
Yeah.
One of my first hospital visits at Calvary, we had a lady in our church whose father, and she was probably 60, 65. Her father was dying, who was 90. And she said, Pastor, you need to know, he's not a Christian, and he's a real hard-hearted man. And so, you know, me, I'm going, well, you know, I'm just going to go love the guy, and we'll see. I went by myself, and I opened the door, and it was just him in that room. And he said, who are you? Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hi, sir. You know, I can't remember his name. I'm the pastor of your daughter. Get out of here, pastor. Mm. Get out of here right now. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. I don't want to see your face. This guy is literally hours from death. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have anything to do. I'd rather go to hell right now than to hear you talk about that Jesus. And I remember I was shocked. I'd never experienced such vitriol. Mm. And I said, well, sir, I could just be with you. And I start taking steps. He said, you don't take another step toward me. You leave right now. Mm. And I left. And I remember crying because I'd never experienced that. But it's a picture of, man, we, apart from the grace of God, that's all of us.
Oh, man. Yeah. Which brings us to the 10th point. And you speak to this. And that is that residential care centers give us a ministry environment where we really understand matters of priority.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't engage in fluff. No. Everything that we do there, we know our time has to matter.
That's right. Right. That's right.
And you don't need anything to do it. You don't need a band. You don't need a praise band. You don't need a PowerPoint. You don't need a projection system.
Maybe a fog machine.
You don't need anything. You just need your Bible and to go and to love on people and share. Yep. Just the simplicity of that, the ease of that. So. Kyle will post these on the show notes. And man, if your church doesn't know what to do to move off center to start making a difference in the lives of your community, talk to your local care centers, look at these 10 things, and find some way you can make a difference there. And thank you for listening to our podcast. We do ask you to give a rating or a review if it's good. Pass it around, let people know about it.
Subscribe.
We do want pastors and leaders and Christians to hear this. We put a lot into this, and we really want it to be helpful to you. So help us make it known to as many as possible. Right, Dan?
And now it's time for the buffet.
That's right. We're headed. Dan and I, we're getting on the older adults transportation. The van has pulled up out front.
It's already parked. It's already honked three times.
They're taking us back to the home because tonight is banana pudding night, and they start serving at 5. So we don't want to miss it. All right.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.